Bless your heart, preacher.
Love you, brother.
I knew you.
Appreciate you.
Bless your heart. Hey.
Well, be taking your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 16. While you're turning, I'll say it's good to be saved today. Appreciate the grace of God. Appreciate the privilege to be here and to come back on these grounds. And sometimes we're away during these weeks of meeting, but I'm grateful for the privilege to be here this day and for the invitation to preach. I understand Brother Gillum preached out of this passage last week, so I'll say what I'm going to say, and if it contradicts him, he's right and I'm wrong. But let's just get that out in the open right now. So I'm not going to try to undo anything he did. John chapter number 16, if you would, if you're able, let's stand together. We want to read a few verses here. We've only got 25 minutes, so we got to read fast and listen quick. In John chapter 16, verse 29, his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, it's now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You can be seated. Thank the Lord for his word. For quite a while now, the whole idea of suffering and the idea of difficulty has been on my mind and on my heart. I've been preaching around these things at our church, and I understand we're living in difficult days. None of us are unaware of what's happened the past few weeks in our world related to morality and decisions by the Supreme Court, the way our administration acts. And it spells, I think, a dark future for the church in some regards. It means that there will be more suffering probably for us than we have experienced up until now for the church in America. But even if you lay all of that aside, there's difficulties in your life and difficulties in my life, in my ministry, your ministry, in our churches. We all have issues that we have to deal with day by day. But I'm glad we don't have to deal with those things by ourselves. I'm glad we have someone to help us and someone to succor us, someone to encourage us, and who will help us to get through the things that we have to get through in this life. Now, you know the context here, I suppose. Jesus has spent a while walking with his men from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's been teaching them about what's about to happen and telling them, actually preparing them that for the fact that he is about to leave and return to heaven, and that they will have to pick up the ministry here on earth. And this no doubt floored them when Jesus first began to tell them. But as he nears the end of this, I find that the disciples, down here in verse number 30, I believe it is, they make a statement of bold overconfidence. Notice what they said. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest from God. The idea there is this: Jesus, we've heard you and we've been listening to you tonight, and we've heard everything you said for the last 3 years or so, and we got this. You go do what you need to do, and we got a handle on this, and we can take care of that, and everything's going to be okay. And his response to them, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but there's a little sarcasm in that. Jesus says, do you now believe? He says, guys, you really think you got this? You really think you understand what's about to happen? Do you really think you know what's about to fall upon your lives? The fact is, they didn't know. And the fact is, we don't know. We don't have any idea from one minute to the next what's going to happen in our families, in our churches, in our ministries, or anywhere in our life. And the fact is, Jesus tells them, you may think you've got it covered, but I'm telling you, the hour is coming, and it's now here when you are going to forsake me. Jesus said, you don't have anything under control, and you think you've got it nailed down, but he said, you need to know that your confidence and your faith is about to be shaken. Verse 31, he tells them that they will forsake him and they will depart from him. No doubt they didn't believe what he said, just as Peter didn't back in John chapter 13. They didn't believe that could happen to them. He said, you'll each go your own way. And he said, you profess confidence in me right now, but it won't be long until you desert me. And then Jesus gets down to the real reason he told him all of these things. And I want to spend our time in verse number 33 just for a minute, because Jesus here gives us three promises that can help us as we face the difficulties of life. And I want to preach for a minute around the idea of ye shall have tribulation. I'll give you this first thought, and you're probably not going to like it because I don't. But verse 33 promises us that we will have pain. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. I don't know where you're living today, but I'm living in the world. In fact, I'm a man who lives in two realms. I live in a spiritual realm. I live in a physical realm. And the physical realm, I'm in the world, and so are you. And I'm in a world that is antagonistic to what I believe and what I preach. When I stand and say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him, people take objection to that. When I say this is God's word and it's the final authority for all faith and practice, people take objection to that. When I say God has already judged some sin in his word, and when I proclaim what he said about it, I'm not being judgmental toward the individual, I'm being judgmental toward their action, and I'm echoing the judgment that God has put down. But those things make us the target of a world that hates our Savior and hates his word and hates the Heavenly Father. And while we are here, we are living in a world about which God said that Satan is the god of this world. That is, he has some limited dominion down here, and his entire goal is to destroy and diminish the glory of God and take the people of God, ruin our faith, and cause us to reject him. And while we're in this world, you and I are going to have difficulty. There's going to be some pain down here. Jesus said you're going to have tribulation. That word means, it has the idea of being distressed. It's used about being in childbirth. It's a word that refers to great difficulty. And Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have that. In fact, we're going to go through what our Savior had to go through. He was hated, he was rejected, he was betrayed, he suffered poverty, he suffered physical pain, sorrow, and eventually death. But I'm blessed that he did, because we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When I go through the valley, praise God, I find that he's already left the lily there. I've seen his footprints, and I know where it's been, and it's I walk through this world, there may be pain and sorrow, but I've got a Savior who said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said he'd help me. He said, hallelujah, he'd go with me and keep me. I bless his name. He intends to do just that. There will be pain. I've had my share of it. You've had your share of it. Everybody in this building tonight understands what pain is. In this world, we're going to have that tribulation, that anguish, that distress. Sometimes our trouble, our tribulation is mental. It operates in the emotional realm. It's tied to our flesh. It causes us problems there. Sometimes it's physical pain in our bodies. Sometimes we go through those difficulties here. Sometimes it's in our spiritual life as we suffer times of drought spiritually and we feel like we're a million miles away from God. We have that tribulation in this world, and that's just the way it is. The Bible said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I wonder if you can identify with that. If we were to start right over here with Brother Fox and go around the building today, and everybody standing and tell us about every problem that you have, and every problem you know about, every problem your preacher has, every problem your church has, every problem America has, honey, we wouldn't leave here till Jesus comes, or we all died because we have difficulty. It's on every hand. We know it, we live it, we feel it, we experience it. It's part of us. But in verse 33, Jesus said, ye shall have. Yeah. And that verb for that little phrase there is written in a way that suggests tribulation is a present tense reality. Right. It's always with us. It's not going anywhere. It's active in our lives all the time. It is a fact, and we cannot escape it. That's just the way it is. There's a promise of pain. And to be honest with you, I'm not real happy about that. I mean, this is one time when I come to that, when I wish Osteen was right. Benny Hinn or Joyce Meyer. I mean, if they were right, then Jesus would be wrong. And we wouldn't have any pain in this world. But I think when the lips of our Savior tell us, in this world ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say it was a maybe-so thing or a could-happen-to-you thing or you might watch your neighbor suffer, but I got you, you're going to be okay. No, he said ye, as in all of us, shall have tribulation. There is a promise of pain. I know that's discouraging. Nobody wants to hurt, but I'll tell you, you're not going to get out of here without it. And by the way, you're not going to be much of a Christian until you go through it. That's how God tempers our faith, and that's how God accomplishes his ultimate goal in our life. You do know this morning that God didn't save you to keep you out of hell, don't you? He didn't save you to make you healthy. He didn't save you to make you happy. He saved you to make you like Jesus. God wants to take the clay like he found it, and he wants to convert it, and he wants to shape it, and he wants to reform us into the image of Jesus Christ, and that's what he's doing. And when you start with a lump of clay like me and like you, it takes a lot of work to do that. And I'll tell you, he's up to the task. If I never went through the valley, I'd never trust him. If I never had tribulation, I wouldn't know how to believe in him. My faith would be weak. So thank God for the pain. But there is, in verse 33, a promise also of peace. Jesus goes on to say, I've spoken these things unto you, that in me you might have peace, security, safety, prosperity, tranquility, and felicity are a calm state of the soul produced by the awareness that, dare I say it, God is sovereign and has all of these things well in hand. Just reminds me that what I go through is not an accident, but in the midst of it all, God is able to give me peace. He said the condition of that peace, though, that I must be in him. The only place I can find peace is to be in the Prince of Peace. And if I'm in the Prince of Peace, he's able to give me peace even when my life is not peaceful. He's able to give me tranquility even when there's not tranquility in my life. He's able to calm my spirit even when my soul, by human reckoning, should be troubled with difficulty. But I'll tell you this morning, we don't have to be afraid about what's happening in our culture. We don't have to be afraid about what's happening in our churches. We don't have to be afraid about what's happening in the world around us. We don't have to walk with question marks in our mind because we have one who said in him, you and I could have peace. When he said might have there, that little verb phrase is written in a way that suggests, well, it's dependent upon an action. Peace is dependent upon an action on our part. And it ties back to where he said peace was found. Not in government. Not in society, not in culture, not even in the church, or in meetings like this, but in him. If you came here hoping to get peace today, that peace isn't going to come from the preaching. You might get a little help and you might get a little push along the way, but you're not going to find real peace until you hook up with Him and abide in Him, because He's the vine and you and I are the branches. And when we're connected to Him, His life flows through us. And praise God, we can enjoy peace in the midst of the storm. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've been at the end of my rope and didn't know which way to go. I mean, been a place where my wife couldn't reach me, where my family couldn't reach me, and the church couldn't help me. But I found on more than one occasion the Lord knew where I was, and He is able to show up in a moment of prayer, and He is able to wrap the arms of love about me and give me peace in the midst of the storm, and let me stand in the calm while the turmoil of the storm raged around me. He gave me peace. There's a promise of peace, but beloved, it's found in Him. It's found in Him. I don't have to worry. I figure He's got it well in hand. I don't know about you, but even while I'm here, I know I'm His, and I know He's mine. I know I've been made the righteousness of God in Him, thus saith the Word. I know that I've been found in Him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said, I'm in Him. He said, I'm complete in Him. He said, I abide in Him. He said, I dwell in Him. He said, in Him we live and move and have our being. Peace is connected to Him. And when we're in Him, thank God He's able to give peace that passeth all understanding. But then third, there's a promise of power. Notice what He said. He said, in this world you might have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It means that even when we feel the pressure, even when we endure the pain, even when we're walking through fields of agony and we just feel like God has deserted us and doesn't care about us, He said, you and I can have courage through the sure knowledge that He has overcome this world of pain. The word overcome means to conquer. It means to walk away with the victory. And I'll tell you, when Jesus came to this world, did He not suffer at the hands of man? He knew poverty. He knew loneliness. He knew sadness. He knew rejection. He knew pain. And they pushed Him until they pushed Him to a Roman cross where He died for your sins and mine. And they buried Him in a borrowed tomb. I will say hallelujah. 3 days later, Jesus arose in victory. And when He did, He carried off the gates of death, hell, and the grave. And He has that victory this morning. He's the one who overcame. He is the victor, but He's not stingy with His victory. Amen. When Jesus died for us, He carried our sins away. And we were translated, when we believed, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. He forgave us all of our sin. Hallelujah. Wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Took up residence in our heart. Walks with us every step of the way. Inclines His ear to you and me. Left us a promise of His grace and His help. Hallelujah. What a God we have. And on the basis of that, He said, be of good cheer, which means to take courage. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Stick in there. Believe in God, because the God who won the victory has shared that victory with you and me. I don't have a song to sing. The sad in tone or nature. I ain't gonna sing anyway, because if I did, that'd be a sure way to clear the tabernacle. Yes, sir. But I do have a song of victory. And I do have a song of peace. I do have a song that allows me in the difficult times of life to stand with my face to the storm
and to look full in the eyes of Jesus and know that everything's okay. I've got a faith that allows me, even like Job did, to turn my back on the present difficulty and step away in the presence of God and lay my eyes on Him and know that no matter how bad it is, I can echo what Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." I'm glad, praise God, He worketh all things according to the counsel of His own will, and He's able to work all things together for good to them that believe in Him, who are called according to His purpose. And that gives me courage, that gives me faith to stand. It helps me to be of good cheer. Amen. Because Jesus carried away the victory, you have it too. You say, "How you know?" Well, Romans 8:37, Paul dealt with some things we go through, but he said, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." He didn't say we were the conquered. He said we were the conquering. And I don't know about you, but I don't have the ability to conquer much. If I went on a battlefield, I wouldn't last 5 seconds. I'd be full of arrows and sword cuts, and I'd be a dead man. But I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, you know. Love people. I don't like to fight. Matter of fact, 30 years of pastor in Baptist churches, I've had my belly full of it. And I don't like to fight. But he said, "I was more than a conqueror, more than a victor." How do you become more than a victor? The only way you can do that is to know that you share in the victory of the one who already conquered everything. That's why I'm more than a conqueror. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, that He gives us His victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us, present tense, all the time, the victory. Right? Yeah. I share in that, and you share in that, and I don't have to be discouraged, and I don't have to be defeated. I will admit to you that while I'm not discouraged or defeated, I am angry. I'm angry at the stuff our government's doing. I'm angry at what our Supreme Court did last week. I'm angry at what's going to come out of that, but I have peace because of it. I know our churches are headed into a difficult time. I know we're going to a place we've never been here in America, and none of us want to suffer persecution. But I tell our brothers and sisters are dying around the world every day for their faith in Jesus, and you and I have no right to believe that God will keep us from the same fate here in this country. We're headed down that slope now. May not happen in my lifetime, but I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren, because they're going to face a world that you and I know nothing about. But I'm not scared of that. I'm not afraid of that, because I walk in a victory that has been given to me by the power of Almighty God, and I bless His holy name that the church of God is a victorious body and the people of God is a victorious people, because we walk in the victory that our Savior won for us and freely gives us by His grace. Amen. If you know Him, if you're in Him, rejoice. And again I say rejoice, because He has overcome the world and He shares the victory with you and me. Amen? That's the message, preacher.
Bless your heart. I love you. Appreciate that.